Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and today's birth stories are with Haley McCone. When Haley's water broke and contractions didn't follow during her second birth, she felt the clock ticking. She then proceeded to try all the things, including a natural induction method suggested by her midwife that did the trick. However, she also had an immense desire for chicken nuggets. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Megan Othling, a fabulous birth doula, childbirth educator, and prenatal and postpartum exercise specialist in Albuquerque, who is all about offering families the information and support they need to make their own empowered pregnancy, birth, and postpartum choices. Learn more at womenofvalorbirth.com. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Vistaprint, helping you own the now in any situation. To get free shipping on all your business cards, any style, any quantity, go to Vistaprint.com and enter the promo code Birthful. It's a limited time offer. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. Thank you, as always, for all the love you give this show. If what you hear is helpful, make sure you subscribe. It's free, and that way you won't miss a thing. You can also support this podcast by supporting its sponsors, which this week are Megan Othling, Vistaprint, and Simply Breastfeeding. Another way to support the podcast is by becoming an official Birthful patron at patreon.com/birthful. And as a thank you, patrons get access to all the extra content that I create for all the episodes, as well as ad-free episodes. Now, another way to support the podcast and help you get postpartum ready is to sign up for my Thrive With Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes at birthfulcourses.com. As you can see, there are many great and different ways of supporting the show. I also have to tell you about a free special treat that's happening online on October 28th, and it is online, so you can access it and participate anywhere around the world. I'm going to be a speaker, the closing keynote speaker for the Gold Perinatal Online Conference. And so on October 28th, I'm going to be speaking at two different times about setting a fresh course towards physiological birth, which is a jam-packed talk about why it's imperative to support physiology during birth and how you can do that. I also talk about how the commonly used birth model actually hinders your physiology. So it is definitely a paradigm shifting talk, and I invite you not to miss it. And also, I mentioned it's free, right? Go to goldperinatal.com, click the conference tab, then the speaker tab, then closing keynote, and you can register there for your seat. You can't watch it if you don't register, so go do that first. I'm going to put a direct link in the show notes as well. And if you happen to be a super birth junkie, I would recommend you actually sign up for the whole conference. It is happening right now, but you have access to the 14 different presentations until December 2nd, no matter when you sign up. So because it's online, you can do it from anywhere in the world. Go register at goldperinatal.com. And if you do register for all of them, I highly recommend you check out the talk with Heather Thompson on the complexities of feeding human milk to human babies. Heather is amazing, and she's going to blow your mind away. The other speakers are also amazing. I love them, including Rhea Dempsey and Sarah Buckley. I'm just right now particularly really loving the work of Heather Thompson. So go register. Early bird registration extended until October 31st. Don't miss out. goldperinatal.com. Oh, so much good stuff. All right, enough of that. For today's story, I am talking to Haley McCone about what happened when her water broke and then there was no sign of labor. Here's the show. Welcome, Haley. It is great to have you here on the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for wanting to share your story. And you have two kids, but we're going to focus on your second story. Before we do that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Haley McCone. I'm 21 years old and I live in South Carolina. I have two kids. I have a two-year-old little boy named Oliver who will be three in November, and I have a six-month-old daughter named Winter.
Ah, that's what she... Let me guess what season she was born in.
February.
My daughter's from March, so I can appreciate the. That was my favorite winter ever because I wasn't cold.
Yes, it definitely helps.
Right? It's so great. So take us back just briefly. Give us a little bit of what happened with your son's birth, so that then we can do a little bit of, that journey that you've been through and what how you prepare differently or what you did, for your second birth.
All right, so with my son, I got pregnant when I was 17, and I actually had him when I was 18. So I was, the more typical young mom. I didn't really research into anything much. I just kind of went by what my OB recommended. His birth wasn't what I would consider bad or traumatic or anything. It was a typical hospital birth. I wasn't induced. I went into labor naturally the day before my due date. Had the epidural and everything. One of the big red flags for me with his birth is that when I got the epidural, they bring all your papers to sign, and I guess in there was a consent for Pitocin, and they started me on Pitocin without even telling me they were going to do it. And when I asked about it, they said that I had signed the papers when I signed for the epidural. But his birth wasn't bad. That was just kind of the this isn't right moment for me. But he was born and everything was okay. It wasn't too bad, so.
Yeah, and it's so interesting that you mentioned that because I'm just about to. I just put out, I rebroadcast that I renewed Kristen Pescucci's episode on informed consent and refusal.
Yes,
So.
it was actually that episode of yours that I listened to when I was preparing for my natural birth with my daughter that made me stop and go, huh, something wasn't right there. So,
Right, because the con informed consent is not a form.
yes,
And just
exactly.
because you sign a form doesn't mean that it doesn't that is a blanket statement that you can't change your mind and that it doesn't need to be you need to be asked again or you can give your proper informed consent when the things is about to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, awesome. So that's going to be serendipitous because I just, this is serendipitous because I just renewed the episode. So, and it was a vaginal birth, right?
It was a pretty fast labor to be a first labor. It was from the time I started having contractions until he was out was about 8 hours. So for a first baby, it was pretty quick.
So then, basically, like you're saying, aside from the Pitocin without consent, it was all fairly straightforward and, healthy baby, healthy mom, and kind of fast birth.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a textbook delivery is what my OB called it. So it wasn't anything like, of course it was my baby, so it was special, but it wasn't, anything bright and flashy. It was just a normal birth, hospital birth.
So one of the things that I love to say is that birth can be very boring, and I like boring births, quote unquote, right? Because it means then it's just flowing, it's going, there's nothing, it's just happening. You don't have, yeah. Now, fast forward to your pregnancy with your daughter. So you said you listened to the podcast, and then that kind of clued you in, Kristen, the podcast I did with Kristen Bescucci. And it kind of clued you in, like, to, huh, something was wrong. Did you feel something was wrong even before listening to the episode?
It was one of those. I ha actually had a family member that I was texting during the time that I was in the hospital, and she had texted me and said, "Don't let them give you Pitocin unless you absolutely need it." And of course, at that time, they had already started it. But she's a PA, so she's in the medical field. And from that point is when I really started kind of researching after he was born about Pitocin, and then you go down the little rabbit hole of hospital births and which hospital births can be great, but with certain providers that don't always do the consent and some of the research behind out of the hospital births, birth centers, home births, and just kind of, that whole long rabbit hole that you end up going down when you start researching stuff.
Yeah, the research for place of birth is super interesting.
Yes, it
Yes.
is.
Now I'm still curious about this. So they gave you Pitocin. It was on without your consent. Did it stay on the whole time? Were you able to go, oh, can you turn it off after you realize it was on? Or how did that adds yeah.
No, I was told that as long as they had the epidural in, that I was required to have Pitocin at the same time. which, yeah, is not how it works now that I know that. But which it kind of makes me mad because I was progressing fine. Clearly, I had him in 8 hours. In my opinion, there was no need for the Pitocin.
Yeah, well, and definitely, like, if you were progressing and things are moving along, and the whole idea of just because you have an epidural, you need the Pitocin, those two things aren't evidence-based,
Yes.
that correlation. So then you started going the research rabbit hole of place of birth and getting more information. What other aha moments did you have, or what did the research give you?
So I'm more of like a crunchy mom, I guess you would say. So kind of just talking with some of my friends that are the same like-mindedness, and when I started trying for my daughter, I actually started listening to your show, and a lot of the stuff that I'd heard on there kind of leaned me towards when I did get pregnant, the midwifery model of care. So I definitely think once I looked into that, I realized that that was more for me than the hospital setting.
And so, and let's clarify that, because you can have midwifery model of care at a hospital, and you can, so place of setting and care provider create all kinds of different variations and combinations, right? So, sorry, did you end up going midwifery care at home?
I did a midwifery care at the birth center, and it's interesting that you said that. The midwife actually went through partners with our local hospital, so you can choose to do an in-hospital birth with her or the birth center. So you have both options there. So I know one of my friends was kind of nervous about being out of the hospital for her first baby, so I recommend it because you can still have the midwifery model, but you're still have this, I guess, comfort of a hospital for moms that aren't comfortable doing it outside of that setting.
And I see, my mind goes wrongly either hospital or home, because in my neck of the woods there are no birth centers, so that is
Oh,
not
okay.
an option.
Yeah, the only reason we chose not to do a home birth is because where we lived at the time was 1 hour from the local hospital. So we decided, just for my comfort, that we wanted to do the birth center as opposed to a hospital birth.
Yeah, so important that you feel safe, like on the birth center, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. So you switched to midwifery model of care. We're at a birth center. Was there anything else that you did differently?
I definitely tried to take care of myself more this pregnancy. With my first pregnancy, it was I'll eat whatever I want. I don't have to walk. I'm just going to sit at home and enjoy being pregnant. So with this pregnancy, I definitely took all the vitamins I was supposed to, tried to eat a little healthier, be a lot more active, and I think that definitely helped with my labor and delivery compared to the delivery with my son.
So let's fast forward to how labor started. Did you know that things were happening? How did it all start? And I kind of know, so it's a trick question, but yeah.
Yes. So we had went out for my mom's birthday. My mom's birthday is February 24th. And at this point, it was the day before my due date, and I was getting a little antsy, to say it lightly. So I went to bed grumpy. I was like, I'm going to go over. I know it, which is not the end of the world, but it's not exactly what you want to do. So I woke up about 2 o'clock, and just kind of adjusted in bed. And when I did, I felt like a little warm gush. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess I just had some discharge. Well, I stood up because I had to go to the restroom, as you always do when you're almost 40 weeks pregnant. And then it was a really big gush. So at that point, I was kind of like, okay, I think that was my water. So I walked out to my husband, who was had fell asleep on the couch watching TV. I was like, I'm pretty sure my water just broke. And he woke up. He said, oh, okay, so I don't have to go to work then, right? So that's pretty much how that one went. We called his parents because they were going to come watch our 2-year-old. And they got there and they're like, okay, great. So are you going to head to the birth center now? What's up? And I was like, you know, I should probably call my midwife. For some reason, that was an afterthought. But I called my midwife and she basically told me to go back to bed, that if I wasn't having contractions and the fact that I was laughing on the phone meant that I just needed to go back to bed. That I wasn't far enough into labor. One thing that kind of added a little bit of difficulty is that I was GBS positive. So they wanted me to get the antibiotics after so long. So it was about 2:30 when I called her, and she told me she wanted me in the office at 10 a.m. if things hadn't picked up to get that first round of antibiotics.
Okay. And how did you feel about all that?
Looking back on it now, I probably would not have gotten them. It was one of those things that I didn't really do the research I should have until after she was born. But it is what it is. I got it. We ended up... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that that's a tricky research, so much so that, you know, I've been doing this for 5 years almost, and I haven't found the right person and the right way to approach the GES.
Yeah.
Episode. Like, I totally own that I've tried, and I'm going, not yet. I can't, you know, I'm not ready for this one yet.
Yeah, I see both sides of it a lot.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. And yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of your story. Breastfeeding, it may be natural, but that sure does not mean it's easy. It's a learning process for both you and baby, and like most learning processes, it takes a lot of trial and error. However, this trial and error can sometimes come with a lot of crying, and not necessarily only from your baby. Help lessen the crying and frustration by arming yourself with some solid knowledge. A great way to prepare for this is by taking the Simply Breastfeeding online class created by breastfeeding experts Cindy and Jana. In their class, you'll learn to recognize what your baby is telling you and how to meet your baby's needs starting in the very first hour after birth. You'll also understand the basics of breastfeeding and be able to return to them if you encounter difficulties, and you'll feel confident knowing the answers to most frequently asked questions. Lessen your anxiety and frustration and relax knowing you've got this. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding to learn more. And as a Birthful listener, you get 15% off if you use the code Birthful when you register. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding or click the link on the show notes to get you on your way. And we are back talking with Haley McHone and about your labor experience, your second baby. So earlier, you were telling me a little bit more about your GBS positive situation, and you shared the reason why you wouldn't do it this time around. Would you mind sharing that with the listeners?
Yes. So the reason that I wouldn't do it this time around is because I do have some permanent nerve damage in my wrist from the IV that was inserted. I'm not exactly sure. I've mentioned it to the midwife a couple times, and she said that it would be something that we would have to look into with the MD, that it's not really something they handle. I'm not exactly sure what happened there, but it swells up really bad, and of course it could happen with any IV. So that's just something to keep in mind if you do choose the antibiotics. There are other risks to it other than just your baby's microbiome that most people tend to think of. There is some risk of damage to your nerves.
Right. And like you mentioned, with any IV, so it's if you're getting fluids, if you're getting Pitocin, if you're going to do an epidural, like there's many reasons that an IV is put in place, not just for the GBS antibiotics.
Yes.
Yeah. Ugh. And it's, did you research the risk for it? It sounds like that's something that's quite low.
Yeah, you know, I've honestly never heard of anybody else getting this.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I don't, that's my luck. I had a great delivery, and they're like, okay, let's throw you in some nerve damage afterwards. That's not completely related to the baby at all, but.
Oh, no, I'm sorry that happened. Yeah. So then where we left the story off, the midwife was telling you to go back to sleep and get to the office at 10 if you still didn't have any labor.
Yes, we didn't do that. My adrenaline was pumping and I just could not go back to sleep. So we ended up going to Waffle House to have some breakfast. and then we finished at Waffle House, and it was my husband and my mom with me at this point. And we went to the mall and started walking because I figured, you know, maybe walking would get something stirred up. We walked until it was time to go back to the midwifery office. When I got there, they were like, so has anything picked up? Have you started having contractions? And it was a definite no. So they wanted to check me just to make sure that my water had broken before they started the antibiotics. So she swabbed me. She couldn't quite get it with the first one, so they had to put the speculum in to get farther back. And she was swabbed it. Of course, it tested positive, and I asked her to go ahead and check me while she was in there just to see because I was curious. I was at a one, which was kind of to hear that was kind of disappointing. Like, my water's broken, nothing's happening, and I'm at a one. So they told me at that point, sent me over to get the IV started with the first round of antibiotics. It was, I think it was around 10:30 by the time they actually got it started and all.
Where did they do it? You said they sent me over. Was it still at her office or did you go to the birth center or hospital?
It was the birth center and office was together, but she sent me from an exam room to, I guess it was just like a little IV room where they do all the blood draws and IVs and stuff. So I just sat in there until they finally got all of that pushed out.
See, and that's very different from what we do here. And that's why it's so important to know the nuances of the different practices in your area. Because if you went in for GBS, if your water broke and you went in, I don't know that there's an office around us that would just do it in the office, give you the antibiotics and send you home. Usually it's you come into the hospital and then now you're there for the duration.
Oh yeah, it's very different. But yeah, once we finished the antibiotics, they gave me the natural induction techniques, which we'll discuss more in a minute. But they basically told me go do stuff, and we'll see you again in 4 hours. So they kicked me out. They're like, bye, we'll see you later. Which I was thankful for because I didn't really want to sit there all day, especially when nothing was happening.
No, and I love that. I wish that they would do more of that, like over here, just because it's you're, if nothing's happening, sitting in the hospital or sitting, we don't have a birth center, so sitting in the hospital is just you're being watched or
Yeah.
you're walking around or it's just annoying. But I think they don't trust that you'll come back in 4 hours is the problem.
Yeah. But so when they sent me on my way, they gave me this little card with some natural induction techniques on it that have you ever heard of midwife's brew?
So tell me about it.
So it is a combination of I'm trying to think exactly what was in it off the top of my head. I should have had it written down. It was the Welch's like sparkling grape juice, castor oil, almond butter, the nectar stuff that you get in the little Hispanic owl, the papaya, I think was the specific flavor. And yeah, I think that was all that was in it.
Okay,
So they gave me.
we're gonna have to like I'm gonna come back to you later to get the actually what was in there and so I can put it in the show notes 'cause you said grape juice, nectar, the papaya nectar, almond butter, and then the castor oil.
Yes,
Okay.
it's a really weird mixture.
It's a very interesting smoothie.
Yes, it wasn't the best ever.
Yeah, so you did it. Did
I
it
did. We went to Walmart and got all the stuff, and I went back to my sister-in-law's house because she was closest to the birth center. I didn't really feel, because I was an hour from the birth center, I didn't feel like driving all the way home. So I just hung out with her, and she'd had a baby 2 weeks before, so I got to play with her baby, and my son was there also. So I drank it at about, it was probably about 12 when we finally got home and I got it situated and finished and was just hanging out. And then 1 o'clock hit and it went from 0 to 10 within a matter of minutes.
Do you remember how much castor oil was in the dose that you took?
It was a very, very small amount. It wasn't even enough to make me go to the restroom. I didn't use the restroom from that point until a week after I had my daughter.
Well, that's a whole different conversation.
Yes. That wasn't exactly healthy either, but yeah, it was a very, very small. I have a picture of the actual recipe on my phone somewhere. I can send to you after
Well, the reason
this.
why I'm asking is because a few weeks ago I also spoke to Rebecca Decker, and one of the things we talked about, we were talking about evidence-based medicine, how that started, how it become. I'll link it in the show notes how it all began. But we also talked about using castor oil as an induction method because they have an evidence-based birth. They have a natural induction methods series, so they went through the evidence for different things. And castor oil, they just renewed it. Castor oil was one of the methods that actually seems promising. So, but she was saying, you know, whether it was one dose, two doses, and the amount. So I'm curious to see how that matches up. But I'll link it in the show notes too. And I absolutely want to see your card.
Yes, I will look for it when we are done here. But once I took it, like I said, about 1 o'clock, contractions finally started. And I was super excited. So I was supposed to be back at the birth center at 2 for the every 4 hours of antibiotics. So I went ahead, told my son bye. Me and my husband and mom headed back to the birth center to get the next round of antibiotics. Told them contractions were finally starting. And they're like, okay, great. They were, I think at this point, they were 4 minutes apart, lasting for about 45 seconds, which is decent. I mean, it's progress.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You must have been, yeah, so excited. And that's not, like you said, you know, that I was trying to understand what you meant by they went from 0 to 10 in it so quickly. It's because every 4 minutes, those are close together.
Yeah, it was. And they were at the point where, compared to my in-labor contractions, they weren't that intense. And I guess my midwife knew that because I asked if they were going to check me or send me down. She said, no, you're still smiling. You're happy. You're joking. You're not ready to be here yet. So I was like, oh, okay. So I did my next round of antibiotics. And at this point, I was getting a little hungry again. So there's a Chick-fil-A directly across the street from the birth center. So we ended up leaving the birth center. It was a little later because I had to wait in the waiting room to get the antibiotics. We left the birth center at about 3:15 and went to the Chick-fil-A and was eating my nuggets when transition hit. And it hit hard and it hit fast. So I'm sure all the lovely Chick-fil-A patrons were like, is this lady seriously going to push out a baby while she's trying to eat her nuggets? Yes, I was going to finish my nuggets before we called my midwife. So from the time we got to Chick-fil-A until we called my midwife again, it was about 4 o'clock when we called her again. And I had to have my husband call her because I was at the point where I couldn't speak on the phone. And my contractions were a minute apart, lasting for about a minute. So they were pretty close together and pretty intense at this point.
Totally on top of each other. Because if you're a minute long and every minute apart, it's just a continuous up and down.
Yeah, it was. Oh. I was getting maybe 10 seconds between contractions.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that was fun. But she was like, okay, so maybe it's time to come back and we'll check you and see about where you are.
You were no longer smiling and chatty.
I was not. I was kind of irritated at that point. But we headed back. Thankfully, since it was just across the street, we headed back to the birth center, and which I was up in the midwifery care waiting room, and we were up there until about 4:30. Like I said, they were busy. The midwife said they had a lot of last minute emergency appointments. So I was laboring in the midwifery waiting room for about 30 minutes in transition. I'm sure I kind of scarred some of the other ladies sitting in there. But when I finally got back there, she was like, okay, let's just see where you're at. And I was like, please let me be more than a 2. So she checked me and she was like, okay, you're at an 8, so we need to send you downstairs now. So at that point, I guess I probably got another burst of adrenaline and I got super excited and it didn't seem that bad at that point.
And you had gone from, so they checked you at when you went in for the, I'm trying to review my notes. When you went in for the antibiotics and they checked you, you were 1 centimeter at 10 a.m.
Yes.
And now it's like 4 p.m. and you weren't even in labor then, really. Like nothing was happening.
Yeah.
And now it's 4 p.m. around and you're 8.
Yes. I'm pretty sure I started dilating when contractions started at 1. So I would say probably went from a 1 to an 8 between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm. The birth is not linear. I keep saying.
Yeah.
So you went then, they sent you downstairs to the birth center.
They did. We walked downstairs, got all the birth stuff out of the car, you know, the typical. And I don't know if this is common. I've never really experienced it before. But my body just kind of, the intensity decreased a lot. Like, I was happy again. I was able, the contractions weren't quite as close together. And I could kind of talk through them. I'm not sure if it was just the excitement of she's going to be here soon. Or if it's like, my midwife kind of described it as laboring down. So to where I was super intense, having to focus on getting through them. When we got in the room, I was relaxed, joking again. It almost didn't seem like I was in labor.
So, did you ever hear the episode with Wapio on the holistic stages of birth?
I don't think I did, actually.
So, and this is something that she talks at length in that episode, but it's something that I learned about in my doula training of the rest and be thankful stage. Wapio calls it the quietude. And it's that time between when you're done with transition and fully dilated to 10, but baby has still to rotate and, like your midwife saying, labor down, like get further in the birth canal. And for the So this is part of the rethinking the pushing stage, that when you get to 10, it's just the door opening, but the uterus, the lower uterine segment, is still holding the baby's head. And if that head hasn't rotated, if you start pushing, it's going to be pushing it, looking sideways because your hips are wider at the inlet top. So baby's head usually go in looking to your hip at the top, and then as they engage and go or labor down and go through the pelvic canal, in order to come out, they need to rotate to be facing, ideally, your back. So,
Yes.
yeah, so that rotation, if the lower uterine segment is holding that head and you start pushing, it won't work. So, that quietude, that rest and be thankful phase, is that letting that uterus come on up, clear the head so the head can rotate, come down more into the canal. And I do see it often that contractions spaced out a little bit more and people get more of a break. And it's a different view, different sensation.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so I'm glad I'm not crazy.
No, you're
Because I
not
was kind of
crazy at
like,
all.
I was scared at that point. I was like, is my labor stopping? Like, am I going to stop at 8 centimeters? Like, I'm so close at this point. So to hear that, it's actually a little bit of after relief.
Yeah, no. It's totally, and we need to tell people more about this calm in between that stage, that quietude, that rest and be thankful. And yeah, as you mentioned, contractions tend to, not everybody experiences, but contractions tend to spin spaced out. It's they feel different. It's yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely like at this point, I went in the bathroom when we got all our stuff in. I was doing my makeup. And they had a rebozo hanging from, I think that's what it's called, the big swing that was hangs from the ceiling.
And they might have had the rebozo itself is just like a very traditional Mexican or Latin American, Central American scarf that's
Okay.
kind of woven. So if they had it in a swing way, it might be something similar. Yeah, something for you to from you to hang from.
Yes, I think it was like the similar idea of a rebozo. But we were just kind of playing around in that. I was waiting on my sister-in-law to actually get there. I think I kind of joked that my body was waiting for her to get there. She's the one that had had the baby 2 weeks prior, and she's my best friend. So I really didn't want to have this baby before she got there.
And I believe it. I don't doubt it because I see it's a mind-body connection. I've seen people wait for doctors. I've seen people wait for doctors to leave. I've seen people wait for moms to get there. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, so once she got there, we had it was about 5:30 when she finally got there, and probably 5 minutes after she walked in the door, things picked back up very hard, very fast again. And my midwife had come in, and she had filled the tub in between waiting for my sister-in-law to get there. And when things started picking back up again, she was like, do you want to go ahead and get in the tub? Because I had planned a water birth. And I told her, I'm a little scared. I don't want to get in it too early. And she kind of made fun of me for it a little bit. She was like, you're probably at a 10. I'm not going to check you, but I don't think it's too early. So
Yeah.
I got in the tub. And once I got in the tub, I had maybe two contractions. And then I got that very intense urge to push. There's no way to describe it. Just the very, I guess, heavy feeling in your pelvis. And I kind of black out on that. Not black out. I don't remember it very well. So I think it was only maybe 4 or 5 pushes, and I was in the water at this point, and then I switched to being on my hands and knees, and maybe one contraction later, my daughter was born. And
so amazing. Oh.
It was, and it's like the feeling of, oh my gosh, I just did this, and it was amazing, and meeting your baby for the first time, it was, there's no words to describe how incredible it was.
Oh, and you did the tub help? Did you feel that was, yeah?
Yeah, I think it did a lot. Went right, the contraction that she was born, for some reason, I just stood up. So I guess, I don't know if you could technically consider that a water birth because she came out like in the air. But as soon as she was out, the midwife handed her to me and I sat back down. So I'm not sure why that last minute I stood up so fast, but...
So one of the things that, like you were saying, you kind of blacked out and you don't quite, but it's just time gets really, really fluid and fuzzy when you're in labor. And it's because you go into like deeper brain waves. So some people call it altered state. Some people call it, you know, it's deeper. Your brain actually goes into deeper brain waves, more like when you're sleeping, or but you're awake, you're conscious, but you're just so internal, especially if you're having that fetal ejection reflex, like you're just in connection with everything happening with you, that I find that when people are able to do that, then they do stuff like this, that you don't know why you did it, but you did it. Like, you don't know why you stood up, but you stood up.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
And I'm sure... Go ahead.
Makes a lot of sense. Sorry. That makes a lot of sense now looking back, because it was, I wasn't focused on what was going on around me and there weren't distractions in the room. And I think that helped a lot, that I was able to kind of focus on getting the baby out for a minute. Because up to this point, you know, we had been in public for a good majority of my labor and delivery, and I wasn't really able to, I'm trying to think of the words to use here, to, I guess, grasp what was going on with my body. So at that point, I think it was kind of like, it was the actual reality moment. Like, this is happening. And it's crazy that it took to the pushing stage for me to realize that. But.
Right. Let's take a quick break, Haley. And when we come back, I want to hear how this was different, how you were transformed, what your favorite parts were. If there's something you didn't like, well, let's get deep into it. We'll be right back. Whether I'm out and about locally or traveling to teach doula workshops or attend birth conferences, I always make sure I have my business cards from Vistaprint on hand to help me go that extra step in making a connection. I often, so often get comments on how much people love my cards, so I know that they're helping me make a great first impression. No matter where you are, say hanging out with other new parents at the playground or leaving the hospital after providing doula support, your next big opportunity could be coming right now. And Vistaprint is there to help you own the now with free shipping on any business card in any quantity. Really, choose whatever style, finish, shape, or paper you like and get free shipping. And because you can pick the colors, fonts, design, and images, it means that you can create something as unique and compelling as your business. The process is super easy. First, you plug your information and logo into any of the hundreds of fresh designs available at Vistaprint, tailored to your type of company, or you can upload your own original layout, your own original art. Then you pick the paper stock, style, and quantity that's right for you. And you can even upgrade to a unique touch like rounded corners. Hint, I love rounded corners. Then order and receive your cards with free economy shipping when you use the code BIRTHFUL. You can feel good knowing that Vistaprint uses only carefully selected inks and responsibly sourced paper stocks. And your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed or your money back. They will make it right. Vistaprint wants you to be able to own the now in any situation, which is why Birthful listeners will get free shipping on all business cards, any style, any quantity. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code Birthful for free shipping on all business cards, any style, any quantity. This is a limited time offer. Own the now at Vistaprint.com with promo code Birthful because you support the show when you support our sponsors. And we are back. And you just had your baby. Yay.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds so fabulous. What time was she born?
She was born, so her time on her certificate says 5:55, but I was looking back at the camera and she was out by 5:53. So somewhere between 5:53 and 5:55. Generally, I just say 5:55.
That's probably easier to remember.
It is.
Yeah. And you mentioned you stood up and then delivered her and the midwife, you know, caught her, put her, you sat down, baby came back to your chest. Did you guys hang out in the tub for quite a while? Did she start feeding? How did that after birth happen?
So I was really surprised when she was first born. I was used to, you know, with my son, and I had just been there for my niece's birth 2 weeks prior. Usually from what I had experienced up to that point, they come out very angry and screaming and fighting. My daughter didn't do that. I was actually a little bit worried because she came out, once we got back down in the water, she just laid on my chest and fell back asleep. So I tried to nurse her. She wasn't having any of it. She just cuddled up to me and fell right asleep. And that was kind of, I did a little bit of research afterwards, and apparently water births, if you can consider her a water birth, babies tend to be a lot calmer when they enter the world.
Mm-hmm. And I will also link in the show notes the episode I have with Barbara Harper about water births. And she did say that that's part of what the research says.
Mm-hmm. So we hung out in the tub for about an hour, just getting to know each other. It was mostly her sleeping and me staring at her saying, oh, how cute. you know, that first infatuation that you have. After about an hour, my husband did some skin-to-skin time. I did have a second-degree tear, which was a lot better. With my son, I had a third-degree tear. And Ooh. My midwife said, yeah, it was rough. My midwife said that she doesn't think I would have tore as bad if I hadn't have tore with my son.
Yeah, because, and this is, you're like giving us so much good information that I can piggyback on because scar tissue doesn't stretch as much. So you do tend to not only tear again if you had a tear, but it tends to go on the scar line.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened again, which is, despite having a third degree tear, postpartum with him wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be to have a tear. And I think that's because I kept it very clean and babied it a little bit. But so she stitched up the tear while my husband was doing skin to skin. At that point, I guess my daughter got a little mad that she was with daddy and not mommy, which is fine with me. So they delivered they had already delivered the placenta at that point. But they were stitching up the tear. And when they finished stitching up the tear, I got situated in the bed, put a robe on, and finally got her latched and nursing. And she nursed through two visitors. So it was probably about an hour and a half straight that baby latched and just kept nursing. The nurse looked at her and she said, this baby nurses like a pro already. So, and I had breastfed my son for almost 2 years. So I guess breastfeeding for that long and having a baby like that, it kind of came pretty natural to us. Thankfully, we didn't have many problems with breastfeeding.
So breastfeeding was smooth and your milk came in and she kept, you know, latching well, no tongue ties, no lip ties, gaining weight, all the good things?
Yes, she did great. She's 6 months old now and weighs 21 pounds. So she's 90th percentile in height and weight. With my son, I was working, so I had to pump all the time. With her, I'm staying home, so I haven't had to pump. She actually won't take a bottle. But breastfeeding her has definitely been a lot easier than with my son, thankfully.
Mm. And once you do it, that tends to be, well, because obviously you know more of what you're doing. But when you breastfeed, you create more glandular tissue. So the fact that you've breastfed before allows for better milk production for the next time.
Okay. And I had a little bit of oversupply with my son also. So.
Yeah, cool. And then did you find, you mentioned that the placenta was already delivered before they stitch you. So they deliver it in the tub?
They actually had me like kind of get out of the tub for a minute to deliver it. It was actually when, right as I was handing her to my husband and getting out is when they delivered the placenta. And looking back on it now, that was probably the absolute worst part of labor and delivery. Like, I would rather have the whole labor and delivery process with the baby up until, it wasn't even delivering the placenta as it was getting stitched up. But like I said, with my son, I had the epidural, so I didn't care. I couldn't feel anything. You know, they gave me the numbing shot when they were stitching me up with my daughter, but it only helps to a certain extent.
Yeah, and depending on the tear, it can take a longer time to do a proper repair. So, yeah, I completely empathize with you that is, for me, it was also the worst.
Yeah. And I think it was a combination of getting stitched up and I wanted my baby back immediately. Despite having her for an hour, you know, it's just that mother-baby connection where you want the baby that you just grew inside of you for almost 10 months. You want her in your arms all the time.
Yeah. And so with the placenta, you said it was as you were getting out of the tub. I'm trying to paint a picture. Is it more that just when you stood up, it kind of gravity took over and it was already ready and kind of came out? Or did they actually have to try to get it out?
It's pretty much when I stood up, gravity kind of took over. I kind of held it in between my legs as I hobbled over to the bed because I didn't want it just popping on the floor. But once I laid down, it kind of came on out by itself.
And so this was about an hour after she had already been born.
Yes, that's why they made me get out. They're like, their placenta needs to come out now. So yeah, they had already tried to get me out before. And I was like, well, just give me a little bit longer. So I think in general, they kind of were a little uncomfortable with how long it had went. The placenta not being fully out yet.
Yeah. And this is something I want to make this distinction because this is something that I see more at home births where there is no rush to get repair done, to get the placenta born, to do all these things. Like I find in the hospital, it's very much within those next 15 minutes, like as soon as possible, they want to see all the things done.
Yes.
And that sort of laid back, I really appreciate that laid backness of a birth center or a home birth. Not that I'm saying I am not recommending anything for anybody. I'm just pointing out differences. You make the choices that are right for you. Just adding that in there. But there is that laid backness to it that it's unless there's a hemorrhage, unless there's something really happening.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen and heard this from other people, and you are confirming it, of, you know, it can take up to an hour, and it's okay to take up that time. And biologically, it's not that there's an urgency for it to be done within so quickly, unless there's something up, right?
Yes, definitely. And, it's not like they just left us there by ourselves. They were doing both of our vitals every 15 minutes, definitely keeping a check on my color to make sure I wasn't paling out or anything. So they were definitely staying. I wouldn't say it was at all, like they were making sure that I was okay by letting me wait that long.
Mm-hmm. And I'll link on the show notes an episode with that I have with Maren Green from Indie Birth on postpartum on hemorrhaging. Which was super interesting. And she has this whole, she switched my thinking about placenta delivery and, you know, taking it one step further of why does somebody need to deliver your placenta? Why can't you deliver your own placenta? You know, of continuing on that, if this is a physiological process, how much does it really need to be managed? And I was like, I never considered. I was like, yeah, why can't you deliver your own placenta?
Yeah.
So it seems like this went, now that you've had both experiences, how are you feeling about all of it?
It was definitely night and day from having my son to having my daughter. Just even the difference in how labor started, how quick they were, and of course the births themselves, they're extremely different. And I think I learned a lot from both of them. My son's birth kind of, you know, set me on this little research binge, and it wasn't just birth that I researched during that time. You know, it was breastfeeding, circumcision, like all of the hot mom topics that you end up researching. And my daughter's, I want to say my daughter's was more spiritual. So with my son, I feel like his was setting me on a path to be the best mom that I can be and to teach me like the first lessons of motherhood. And then to where my daughter's birth was, it was more of a confirmation of myself that I'm enough and I don't need, you know, it's great to have all the information, but that my instincts can handle and my body and myself as a whole can handle motherhood without having to rely on other people for it, if that makes sense.
That is beautiful. That does totally make sense. And I it's such a wonderful transformation that you've experienced and gone through. I really appreciate how you're saying your son put you in the research track and of sort of trying to figure out how to be the mom that you want it to be. And then your daughter bringing you sort of confirming is like, yeah, this is you got it. You got it now. You're good.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, having the first very medicalized traditional hospital birth, which there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want. But having that kind of led me into realizing what I wanted. And actually, because, you know, when you tell people that you want a natural water birth, everybody, well, a lot of people tend to give you that kind of weird, like, okay, kind of look. So to actually do that. And, you know, I think a lot of having my children a lot younger than a lot of people, you do get a lot of comments, and I'm sure every mother does it, but a lot of different comments. Like a lot, when I was breastfeeding my son, there was a ton of people that were like, you're so young, there's no reason to do that, just give him formula. And I think it was the same thing with the natural birth. Everybody was like, you know, there's no reason not to get the epidural, just get it, you'll be thankful for it. And I think overcoming both of those, despite what a lot of the people around me were saying, it was very healing in a way, and it really boosted my self-confidence for both and helped me, I guess, realize that I'm doing the best that I can and that my best is good enough.
Mm. I am so happy for you that you've had this whole, that sounds beautiful, of that transformation that you've had. And was there anything that we haven't gotten to that you want to make sure we mention?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. We covered a lot.
We did. We and in pretty good time, I got to say. what is there anything you want to leave the listeners with?
My best. Oh, can I backtrack to that last question real quick?
Absolutely.
Sorry. One thing that did help me when labor did get a little more intense is I created a little Pinterest board, and I saved birth affirmations on there, and it sounds super cheesy, and it is, but it's helpful. So one of my favorite birth affirmations that I just kind of kept repeating to myself when things were getting a little more intense was women all over the world are birthing with me. So there's so many people that are going through the same thing that I am, and babies being born at the same time. And it was really, I guess it just kind of gave you, like I was saying, the more spiritual aspect of it.
Yeah, and they're doing it in hundreds of different ways.
Yes.
Everyone is specifically unique and for what they need at that time.
Yes.
Mm, yeah, I love that. And yes, affirmations can be cheesy, but they work. They work.
They do. Yeah. At the time I was saving them, I was like, I'm never going to look at these. I don't know why I'm doing it. And then it ended up being my go-to during labor.
I love it. Thank you so very much for sharing your stories with us today. I really, truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I listened to the podcast all the time while I was pregnant. I had a driving job, so I would sit there and listen to like 5 episodes at a time. And I honestly can say that it was probably one of the most helpful resources that I had to prepare me for labor and delivery.
Aw, thank you so much. I'm glad it was so helpful.
Thank you.
Mighty Ones. Find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me, the show, send me messages, and more. And if you want access to ad-free episodes and the extra audio content for this episode, where Haley talks about the 6 things that made all the difference during her postpartum, then come join us over at patreon.com/birthful to become an official Birthful supporter. Check it out at patreon.com/birthful. And if what you are looking to do is get ready for life with a newborn, then go to birthfulcourses.com and sign up for my Thrive With Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes. Do it now before baby arrives. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, Megan Othling, and all the amazing Birthful patrons, and the wonderful people at This The Print and Simply Breastfeeding. To get free shipping on all your business cards, any style, any quantity, go to thistoprint.com and enter the promo code BIRTHFUL. This is a limited time offer. And go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code BIRTHFUL for 15% off their breastfeeding course. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin McLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful Podcast is part of the Parents on Demand Network, a network of podcasts focused on parents. Download the free Parents on Demand app on Apple and Android for easy on-the-go listening. Here's what Haley had for breakfast.
I had coffee.
I'm Adriana Lozada. Please join me next week when I'll be talking to another maternity pro to inform your intuition here at the Birthful Podcast. Thank you so very much for listening. This episode is copyright 2019 by Adriana Lozada.